finance transformation can mean so many things for so many people. To me, it's process optimization, and it can differ depending on what process you're trying to optimize. It can mean automation. It could be a transformation on a process that is already automated but not optimized. A lot of times, you know, everybody's very focused on automation and automating processes, and they don't take a step back and say, well, they just optimize the existing process instead of, hey, let's figure out what the optimal process is, then automate it.
Hello, and welcome to Off the Books, where we surf the uncharted waters of accounting, finance, risk, and wherever else the waves take us. This episode is brought to you by Workiva, the one platform that unites the financial reporting, ESG, audit, and risk teams like Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, and Spandex. My name is Steve Soder, accounting enthusiast and Diet Coke aficionado. Looking forward to debiting a great conversation, and as always, so happy to have you with us. I'm also very happy to have Catherine Tsai joining us. Catherine, can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm not an accountant or a Diet Coke aficionado or Wolverine fan, so I almost missed that spandex reference before. But I am a professional asker of questions. I like venti soy chais, and I'm excited to hear about our guest for this week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, we are not talking to Deadpool, but we are talking to somebody oh so much better. Today, we are concluding our series that we recorded in front of the New York Stock Exchange as part of Workiva's celebration of 10 years since going public. And today's guest is Stacey Gilbert, the Chief Accounting Officer of KeyBank.
That's right, Steve. And in this week's episode, Stacey shares her thoughts on how leaders should approach change, how one should approach finance transformation, and how new technologies change the job of an accountant.
Yes, it was such a great conversation, and I am so excited. Let's get right to our talk with Stacey Gilbert.
Well, let's jump right in. We've been talking a lot about leadership with some of our other guests, and I'm wondering, how has leadership changed for you over the years where you've got such a dynamic environment, so many things at play, you know, today versus 5 years ago or even 10 years ago? Tell me, how's that evolved in your career?
Yeah, change is constant, and that is what I have been stressing with my team. To be a change agent, right? I think early on in my career, I was very focused on a lot of tactical aspects of my day-to-day responsibilities. And today, there is just more change than ever, right? It's data, technology, people, processes, regulations, expectations. They've all changed. So I've learned to be much more agile and adaptable. I think engagement with key stakeholders is also something I've learned that is very critical, right? Is to getting those stakeholders on board early and upfront, getting their buy-in, getting their support, and becoming part of your team to effectuate change going forward.
That's great advice for change management.
Yes.
How do you help your team get through changes then?
So I guess it's a lot of coaching. I feel like I lead by example. That's very critical, right? If I'm not portraying the behaviors that I want my team to model, I'm not going to be successful and my team isn't going to be successful. So showing support for them and empowering them to make decisions and be leaders through change is super critical for them to be successful.
And when we talk about your team, let's also talk about the way that recruiting and hiring and kind of mentoring has changed over the years. Like, what type of skills are you looking for in either your existing employees or in new employees? And again, maybe contrasting that today versus what you may have been looking for 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think the table stakes of technical, you know, accounting skills, technical proficiency within controllership, you know, I think those are table stakes, right? I'm looking for accounting experience, finance experience. But what I'm really looking for now is more the data analytics, right? Again, having more of a strategic vision, being able to collaborate with multiple teams across the organization. I think that is really where I find our teams have been successful, when they can identify the key stakeholders that they need to engage with and when they're successful in engaging with them and making sure that they understand the vision, the goals, the roles, responsibilities. If that isn't clear up front, we spend a lot of time just spiraling and not making progress because no one is aligned on who's accountable, who's responsible. And so it's, again, empowering my team to own those processes and to own those decisions, and that makes their engagement with stakeholders more successful.
What are some of the big changes you're managing through right now?
We have lots of changes. Data, I would say, a lot of data transparency, data lineage, building a data lineage and analytics framework is a significant change that we're managing through. There's a lot of enhanced regulations that my business is subject to, so that is a significant change. Again, the expectations of our operations and our risk management are different than they were 2 years ago. And so it's managing through that, it's a shift in culture, right? Of people get defensive when they get questioned about, well, why did you do this? What are your controls and process over these processes? Who did you engage with? How did you come to this decision, right? Especially within controllership, right? That they had the background of being an expert in accounting and an expert in their field. And so when they start getting questioned about, well, why did you do this? Did you put the proper controls in place? What things did you think about when you made this decision? Right? They take it personal. So it's trying to, again, change that shift in mindset to say, like, they're not questioning your ability to do anything, right? It is, we are in a more dynamic and complex business environment than we've ever been. And so look at this as someone else trying to just help you, right? And so to guide you through things that maybe you'll miss, right? You're in the weeds too much. And so someone's like, hey, they have more high-level experience, or they have a different view across the enterprise that they can, you know, make sure you engage the right stakeholders. I think we've been working with my team a lot, too, on, like, let's use this to our advantage for areas that we've been challenged with, right, being kind of a downstream user of data. And let's focus on, well, how can we use these other stakeholders in risk as our partners to highlight some issues upstream that we're seeing to get those resolved, because it ultimately makes our processes better. It makes our reporting better. It makes it more transparent and more accurate.
Well, let's talk about that just for a moment. The term finance transformation is ubiquitous. I think we collectively agree. I'm not sure anybody quite has a uniform definition on it. How would you define finance transformation? And specifically, what are the characteristics of a successful finance transformation? Like, how do you know when you got it right?
Yeah, finance transformation can mean so many things for so many people. To me, it's process optimization, and it can differ depending on what process you're trying to optimize. It can mean automation. It could be a transformation on a process that is already automated but not optimized. A lot of times, everybody's very focused on automation and automating processes, and they don't take a step back and say, well, they just optimize the existing process instead of, hey, let's figure out what the optimal process is, then automate it. So I think it's just, it depends on what process that we're looking at transforming. And as far as how do we know when we got it right, I think looking at it in chunks and in kind of short-term milestones is the way to do it, because in my mind, it never ends, right? There's something that's always changing, that's always new and different, given how quickly technology advances, the amount of data that is being demanded by stakeholders, right? External stakeholders, internal stakeholders, is always evolving and changing. So your processes always need to evolve and change on that. So I think it's just looking at process optimization more in short-term sprints versus long-term milestones, and showing some quick wins and process through that process optimization, can we reduce the number of manual entries that we're making, right? I think that's That's one of the big challenges that my team faces, is just years and years and years of lack of investment in upstream processes, data origination, data sourcing, technology, right? It's just resulted in a lot of manual processes for my team. So again, we're working on lowering that number of manual processes. So I think that's right, that's a key piece. And I think looking at the accuracy of our reports, the transparency of our reports, the ability to provide data and do analysis quicker, is also something that we look at when we're measuring success of transformation.
How is a financial reporting team better than a dad joke? A dad joke can tell you what to call a busy accounting leader, but it's not going to tell you why. Really good financial reporting teams can pull together reports that tell you what happened last month and even tell you why. They just don't always have the time to get to the why. That's where Workiva comes in. Top accounting and finance teams are using the Workiva platform to automate financial reporting, from financial statements to board reports, from 10Qs to S1s. Spend less time copying and pasting numbers and more time telling the story behind the numbers with data your auditors can trust. See why accounting and finance teams love Workiva at workiva.com/accounting. That's workiva.com/accounting.
How do you make the case for giving accounting and finance teams the investments and the technology that they need to do their jobs? Because accounting and finance teams need love too.
Indeed they do.
Indeed they do. Probably more love than a lot of people need. Again, in my case, I think we have definitely been challenged with that in my organization, of trying to get that visibility. And again, given the heightened scrutiny from regulators, I think that actually is providing momentum for us to make these changes and to get that technology and to get that investment. But again, it's showing quick wins to our CFO. It's showing how to provide more transparency. It's understanding, like, what do our stakeholders need? What kind of data do they want? Right, and trying to leverage, again, not just from a reporting standpoint for external providers, but looking at what data do we need internally from a business decisioning perspective. We'll also look at, like, what external stakeholders, what types of questions are they asking? Is it data that we can provide to them that might be a case to invest in more technology or invest in automation to say, hey, look, we're getting a lot of questions around this type of data, and they want more transparency, right? And have a case to say, like, business case to say, like, if we build this process, right, if we invest in this technology, invest in this optimization, we're able to provide our key stakeholders the information that they need.
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
Yes.
as they say. Well, one of the other things that has come up in our conversations has been generative AI. Do you have a perspective on ways to use that now, but maybe importantly, how that's going to shape both the processes and the way the people are performing those processes over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, I would say we're very early in the generative AI space. I think we're looking at documentation, use cases for that within reporting right now. But again, where I see it, again, the focus is in reporting, right, has always been very manual, labor-intensive processes, right? And it's, we don't spend enough time due to doing data analysis. So wherever we can use technology and generative AI to take that, right, that cumbersome process out so that we can do more analysis and provide more, you know, insights into the business, I think that is absolutely where we're focused.
But I'm wondering, how does that change then the skill set? I mean, if you know that you have this, like, massive change to the way people are going to be doing things because there is more efficiency and so on and so forth, inherently, then don't you need different skills in order for, you know, the generation of the future, a little bit cliche, to be successful?
Correct. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think, and we're seeing that now, right? We're starting to get folks, again, with, again, the kind of the table stakes, what I said earlier, of accounting proficiencies. Now we're looking at, right, data analytics skill sets and machine learning and AI exposure. And that, right, that's where we're going to be focused going forward. But again, I think it's also taking kind of the technical proficiencies out of it, right? It is that being that change agent. Like, to me, that is something that is so critical when I'm looking at folks that are successful on my team and how they're going to be successful in the future, right? Is they need to be able to identify areas of change and drive those forward. Again, whether that's through AI, machine learning, whatever technology changes are going to come in the future, they need to be right at the forefront of that and able to drive those changes.
Yeah, what I'm hearing is don't just ride along with the change. Go ahead and lead
it.
Yeah.
Correct. Because you're going to get left behind when you're not leading it. Yeah.
For our closing question, first, Stacy, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. We're here in the sunny streets of New York City. When you visit, where do you like to get a slice? Where do you like to eat? Where do you want to spend your time?
Well, I'm in and out today, so I don't know. I spent pizza. I love pizza. So if anybody has good recommendations for where to go buy a good slice of pizza, I'm all for that.
I know Mike has a recommendation.
Oh, yeah. I like Grimaldi's on the other side of the Brooklyn Bridge.
Okay.
So it's a little far, or Lombardi's, like the East Village.
Deep dish or the thin
slice? No, New York style.
Style, yeah.
I would second both of those recommendations.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Stacy Gilbert, thank you so much for stopping by, spending some time, sharing some insights with us. Again, super special day for us at Workiva and Off the Books. And we are so glad you were part of it.
Yeah, happy to be here and happy to celebrate with you guys today. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thank you again to Stacy Gilbert, and thank you, dear listener, for surfing along with us. I'm Steve Soder. You heard from Catherine Tsai and Mike Gravano, and this has been Off the Books presented by Workiva. Now, we'll be back next week with Cynthia Cooper, author and whistleblower of WorldCom.
Please subscribe, leave a review, tell your buddies if you like the show. If you're watching this on YouTube, leave us a note in the comments, or feel free to drop us a line at offthebooks@workiva.com. Surf's up, and we'll see you on the next wave.